welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
This is a time when we get to announce another sponsor.
Yes.
We have intentionally put off. We knew that we were going to have two sponsors from the onset. We're going to have an intro sponsor and an outro sponsor, and these two sponsors will be alternating. And, Jonathan, this sounds like braggadocious, but I'll just go and say it. We've had a lot of people, a lot of organizations that want to be sponsors mm-hmm. here, but we have been selective just simply because we want to make certain that the values align with the values of the organization,
yes.
our values. And I have a dear friend by the name of David Dockery. David and I go way back.
Yeah,
I
mean, way back.
Way back. I'm talking about the 1980s.
Way back.
In fact, he worked at what was then the Baptist Sunday School Board, Lifeway.
Really? I did not know that.
And he published my first book.
Wow.
Of my first solo book, The Book of Church Growth.
So he went from here
yes.
to Southern?
Yes.
Oh.
Went from here to Southern.
I did not know that.
And so I had gotten to know David. This is going to be personal about David, and David, thank
you. Oh, boy.
By the way, no, it's all good. David, we're so appreciative of Trinity, and we're so appreciative of your leadership there. He did a great job when he was at Union University. And when David started asking me about the possibility of a partnership, I knew this is one guy that I really liked and that I could trust. But David was working in what was then, well, still is, B&H,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to pitch a textbook on church growth, which was big back then.
Sounds like loads of fun there.
Yeah.
A textbook on church growth.
And did okay. And so David was my editor, and he had approval authority over it, and he approved it. And my first solo book was because of David Dockery. My first book, Evangelism in the 21st Century, he was a contributor in that. But we go back even further than that. We go back to when I was a student at Southern, and David became a visiting professor.
Oh, okay.
I said, I didn't have any money, but I still wanted to take him and his family. He has three sons, like I have three sons. I wanted to take him and his family to a nice restaurant. So I saved up my money and took them to Morrison's Cafeteria. He's still...
Man. I'd eat some Morrison's back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Those green beans, they were cooked in a lot of fat.
I don't know about green beans.
Yeah, the green beans were good. The mac and cheese, oh, man.
The mac and cheese, yeah.
And a lot of good desserts.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the 80s, and now David is the president of Trinity International. And, well, just welcome Trinity, yeah. The sponsorship. And
y'all kind of been together a lot, though. I mean, if you were at Southern while he was there. And then
yes.
The B&H tie, and
yes.
then he was at Southern whenever you came as the dean of the Graham School.
That is correct.
And then he went on to Union.
Yes.
He came on to Lifeway.
And I was on the board at
Union.
You
were born at Union. And then now we're
now,
back together again.
Yeah, start singing, Jonathan. You'll really drive the audience away.
And
but it's the personal relationship. We'll talk about William Vander Blumen at the end, but it's mm-hmm. the personal relationship. I have personal confidence in David Dockery, and therefore I am delighted that Trinity is our sponsor.
Yeah, and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School is a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. Find out more about Trinity Evangelical Divinity School at divinity.tiu.edu.
Welcome again to the sponsorship, and now we've got the two anchors of
yep.
Trinity and Vander Blumen.
All right, and let's get into today's episode. We're going to talk about 10 mistakes pastors make when interviewing with churches.
Yeah, and we've got to set the context. This could be a pastor search committee.
Yep.
It could be a leadership group mm-hmm. with in the church. It could be with a search firm like
yep.
Vander Blumen.
With William Vander Blumen himself.
Wow, the man himself. But all of these could apply, at least most of these could apply in each of those situations. You're a pastor, and I guess this could apply to most staff as
any
well.
Any staff positions,
any
probably.
Staff position. Yeah. So listen in and mm-hmm. learn from the mistakes of many, including Rainer.
Yeah, and well, most of these would even apply to secular jobs.
Yes.
If you're interviewing for anything.
Yes.
These
particularly, though, a Christian context.
Yeah, particularly.
We'll focus on
you
those,
You can figure
two.
Out the ones that don't. But all right, number one is exaggerating their previous successes.
Yeah.
Pastors never exaggerate.
No, everybody exaggerates some. But you don't want to talk about what a great job you did at a church and throw out numbers and throw out attendance if that did not really happen.
Yeah.
That can come back to bite you.
Just a bit.
And again, it's a matter of integrity. It's a matter of honesty. So don't exaggerate your previous successes. Just be honest about it. And they will appreciate the honesty. And the thing about it is most search committee members, most interviewers, most leaders who would be interviewing someone for a job, they're going to be able to tell if there's sincerity or if there's a little bit of exaggeration going on. So
and
don't do that.
They've also probably run the numbers for your previous church.
There's a good possibility.
If you're at that stage.
Yeah, and you give an exaggerated.
If you start coming in and talking about different numbers, and you know Joe's sitting over there with the spreadsheet, he's looking at you like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's a good point. You could be caught in the act right there, and the search committee lying in the act.
Yep. Number two is pastors believe everything the committee says.
Now let me be clear. Jonathan's looking at me like, what are you going to do with this one? Don't believe everything the committee says, not because the committee is lying.
No.
They have, most of the time, the best of intentions. And sometimes the committee is telling truth for themselves, but they don't represent the rest of the church. For example, they may say, we are really ready to make changes. We are really ready to do whatever it takes to reach our community for Christ, no matter what. And they may believe that. And then the pastor comes in and starts making changes, and all of a sudden the pastor is changed, either in attitude or in job. So be careful. The search committee may not be telling you the full background truth story of the church, not because they're deceptive, because they just are not representative of the whole church all the time.
And it's a lot of times they want to put their best foot forward as well. So you might not get the full story on everything.
Right, right.
Number three, pastors sometimes intentionally are unclear about their beliefs.
Yeah, get the major beliefs, and even if some of them are minor, secondary or tertiary beliefs, if they're going to be issues that you'll be preaching on, go on and state them now, because if you begin to preach upon them and you have not told the committee nor the church that this is a doctrinal stance that you have taken, then you are going to get in trouble, because they will say, hey, we don't believe that at our church, or that is a good possibility. So don't hide your belief system in order to get the job. Be as clear as possible. It is better not to get the job than to avoid than to have the heartache of being misrepresented or misrepresenting yourself.
Do you think churches and committees ask good enough questions to find out doctrine of pastors?
No, most of the time they do not. Some of the time they do. We mentioned in an earlier podcast, Son Sam, and he just went to West Bradenton Baptist Church in Southwest Florida, and absolutely loves it there. And he was telling me about the search committee.
Yeah,
and he said incredible questions.
Good
questions of doctrine, questions of leadership, questions of personality, questions about pastoral priorities. He said the best questions that he has ever been asked. And so, yeah, some of them do, but the answer is most of them do not. Now, it works the other way.
Yeah, that's point number four. Pastors don't ask the right questions either.
Yeah, pastors do not ask the right questions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get us out of line a little bit, and I'm going to skip to number 10.
Oh, man. You're going to mess me up.
Well, I'm sorry, but just let number 10.
I'm the host here.
Yeah, let number 10 stay number 10.
Okay.
And we'll get to that in just a moment, but sometimes you don't ask the right questions because you haven't done your homework.
Yeah, so that 4 is connected to number 10.
Those two are absolutely connected. Make certain that you know enough about the church, you know enough about the background, make certain that you know enough to ask the right questions, and even if you don't know some things about the church, ask the right questions. And if you have a doctrinal belief system that is a priority in your system, or maybe even secondary, you need to be asking the church what their belief is about that. Not all doctrinal statements say everything.
Yeah. And don't assume a church believes the same way you do on certain issues just because they have a certain denomination name in their church name.
Yeah, because there's a lot of variety even within denominations. So you, the pastor or the staff person, need to be asking the right questions as well.
Number five is majoring on the minors, taking too much time to focus on things that don't really matter in the search process.
Yeah, that can work both ways with the search committee, and that can also work with the pastor making the mistake on interviewing. Like, you know questions about, let's get into the financial stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute as well.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say the pastor says, what percentage of my salary can be housing allowance? Well, you know, that's not even
That's
tertiary.
Not something to bring up in the interview stage.
Yeah, it can be absolutely so minor that the search committee will say, well, does that person have their priorities in order because of the type of questions that person's asking?
That kind of leads us to the next point. Number six is failing to discuss compensation in the latter stages or discussing it too early.
Yeah, there are two eras there. I know a pastor. You would know this pastor. And this particular pastor never brought up compensation.
That's going to be a problem.
Never brought up.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, and got on the job, and guess what? It was lower than his previous job in an area that had a higher cost of living.
Oops.
Never discussed it.
It's his fault, though.
Yeah, never discussed it. He's still there. He's going to make it. But it was just – and so he had to make some – changes lifestyle-wise and the house he chose and all that because he never asked the compensation issue. Don't go through an entire process without asking compensation, but don't let it be a front-end issue because then the perception is the job is just about the money.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are some church leaders and church members who believe that that is the issue. So discuss compensation, but at the right time. Certainly not the first interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually something that happens toward the end when you know that you're about to be the candidate. Most of the time, the church is going to address it.
Hopefully, the church addresses it because they should know that is an issue and a consideration for a pastor coming to that church.
Well, look at this pragmatic issue. Pastor accepts a church, starts looking for a new home. How do you know which home to look for?
Exactly.
Because you don't know yourself. I wonder what that particular pastor did on the application for a mortgage if he did it.
Yeah, I don't know.
The salary. I don't know.
Just assumed it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what his wife said. Because I know if I did that, brother, it'd be ugly.
Yes, yes. I can hear Beth right now.
Yeah, you can probably hear Nellie Joe too.
Yes, I could hear. You didn't do what? We don't know what.
You did what?
Yes.
You moved us here for what? Oh, boy. That would not be a pretty sight. But anyway, so don't talk about it too early, but don't fail to talk about it later on.
Right.
Number seven, not contextualizing ministry ideas and terminology to the church.
This is going to be connected to number 10 as well. There are a lot of things that are connected to number 10. You actually gave this example off the air, and I think it's worth repeating. You said you might go into a church that is a Sunday school-based group church, and you may be talking about life groups.
Yeah, or home groups.
Something like that. And they don't make the connection because you have not gotten the background of the church.
It shows that you really aren't detail-oriented.
Right. You used to work for an organization called the WMU.
I did.
Which is a missions organization. Jonathan worked for the Women Missionaries Union.
Women's Missionary.
And the only reason I'm pausing at that is because
you like to remind me of that.
It's the woman's and you're a man. But
yep,
I guess
there were other men that worked there.
Okay. So Jonathan worked there. There's some churches within our denomination that have a WMU. There's some that do not.
Mm-hmm.
You start asking questions about that, and they may say, well, what are you talking about? Same thing could be said for like non-denominational ministries, like Awana or something like that. Make sure you know what the church does. You're going to look unwise. I was about to say stupid, but you're going to look unwise and unprepared if you're asking questions that the church really has nothing to do with.
Yeah, ask questions in terminology that they understand, so you don't have to keep explaining yourself and
that's
looking
just
unwise.
That's just a matter of being prepared, and we'll get to that too.
Number eight, using the phrase "in my current church" or "in my previous church" way too often.
Yeah, the search committee wants to know what you're going to do in your next church. They want to know their church. And when you start talking about my church, first of all, it makes you seem self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you seem like you're the hero of the story. And also, it makes it seem like you don't have a contextual awareness, because what you did in Tallahassee, Florida may be different than what you do in Los Angeles, California.
Just a bit.
That's just one example from East Coast to West Coast.
This is something I often see also whenever pastors come to a new church after they get there.
Oh, they talk about their other church too much.
Yeah, and people were like, look, you're not there anymore. You're here.
Right. Tell you my particular problem. My first church was Hopewell Baptist Church in Jefferson County, Indiana. My second church was Hopewell Baptist Church in Jefferson County, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I then went to my third church, and it was tough not to say Hopewell Baptist when first I went to St. Pete. I would give the welcome time. I'd say, welcome to Hopewell. No, those were the previous two churches.
You did not do that.
I did on the stage. Yeah, on the platform. I did that. Well, don't look at me with that type of chagrin. I mean, my previous two pastorates had been Hopewell Baptist Church in Jefferson County, and now I'm getting to my third, and it's not a Hopewell.
It's not Jefferson County.
But
your fourth one was in Jefferson County.
It was. But it wasn't a Hopewell.
No
But you know, I loved Azalea Baptist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. I've talked about it quite often. But for the first 3 or 4 months, I do the welcome. Welcome to Hopewell.
It's like writing checks in January.
I would look over at my worship leader, Rob Young, and he would just be shaking his head like this. And then I would look at my associate pastor, Chuck Carter, and he laughed every time.
Oh, I bet he did.
You've heard Chuck, you know.
Yes.
He has a very prominent laugh. It's kind of like that. And he would just, every time I would do it, and, you know, people were waiting to see when I was going to get over Hopewell Baptist Church. Well, that's the story. That was just a little detour. The thing is, don't talk about your previous church that much, but in the interview and once you come to the church.
Number 9, failing to ask others about the church.
Okay, who are the others? The others are people not in the church. So who are the possibilities? Go back.
Denominational people.
Denominational people, if it's in a denomination.
Previous pastor.
Previous pastor, especially the one that just left.
Pastors in the area.
Let me give a, you're getting ahead of me, Jonathan.
Sorry.
Let me give a caveat to previous pastors. Get permission from the search committee before you call the previous pastor, because you don't want to act like you're being sneaky and working around them. I've never known a search committee that said, no, this, you can't do it. That would be a red flag if they did.
And they're like, no, do not talk to him.
Do not talk to them.
All right.
But the previous pastor, if you're in a denomination, denominational leaders who have some type of contact with it, people in the community perhaps, somebody always knows somebody. And I just got an email, a guy that we have connection with through the Kendrick brothers, who do all the were the Sherwood films and now the Kendrick films. He sent me an email and said, guess what? My brother was on the search committee that called your son Sam to the church.
You never know.
Never would know. And so there are all kinds of connections. But ask others outside the church about the church. Sometimes you can get a pretty good and objective perspective. Sometimes it'll be a biased perspective, and you need to filter that as well. But ask others.
Your fourth church that you pastored, you knew somebody in the church before you went there.
Yeah, my brother. That was one of the weirdest things. I was interviewing for the Green Valley Baptist Church, and he didn't know I was interviewing. And I forgot. I wasn't even thinking about which church he was a member of in Birmingham. And we're getting toward the final stage, and somebody on the search committee said, we've got somebody in the church named Rainer. I said, really? I wonder if they're kin to me. It was my brother and his family. And so I called him up and said, I'm interviewing. I'm probably going to be your next pastor. And it was a Baptist church. And, you know, I don't know what he said. He probably said something like, I'll become Presbyterian or something like that. But, yeah, I knew somebody in that church. It's really weird that I didn't make that connection to right at the last part.
It's like I'll be visiting Shades Valley next week.
There you go. Or Shades Mountain.
Or Shades Mountain or Shades Crest. Or
yeah, one of the Shades.
Yes. One of those. Number 10, and we've talked about it numerous times so far, and a lot of these tie back to number 10 in not doing your homework on the church.
Okay, let's talk about how you can do homework on the church. Go to the website.
Yes.
Website should tell you a lot about the church, good or bad.
Yeah, it'll tell you something.
If it's a poor website, that may tell you something. Oftentimes, you can go get statistical records in the church. Sometimes the church will provide it. It's part of a denomination. You may be able to get denominational numbers on the church. We've talked about asking others outside the church, so that would be a part of the homework. One of the things that I recommend that all pastors do before they go to church is do a demographic and psychographic study of the church. You say, oh, my goodness.
How do you do that?
You just go, one source is Percept.
Percept. Okay.
It's a great source and the one that I've used quite often. And you can find out more about Percept at perceptgroup.com. You'll have the link here on the website as well. It's going to cost you about $220, and you can get this unbelievable report of demographics, psychographics, what people in the area believe, how many unchurched there are, growth rates, future growth rates.
Probably wouldn't do that early on.
Well, no, but toward the end, you want to do that. It can tell you a lot about the community, not only about the demographic trends, but their attitudes and perceptions as well.
Okay. All right. And we also want to thank our other sponsor today, Vander Blumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode on Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Well, let me do two. First of all, our first time with dual sponsors, and it's just great to be sandwiched in between organizations led by David Dockery and William Vanderblumen. Mm-hmm. So that's first of all. Secondly, a lot of interviewing is common sense. And a lot of these things that we have gone over are common sense. For some reason, some pastors and staff get in the interview process and common sense falls aside. They know better. So these are not necessarily great insights as much as they are good reminders. And so next time you go through an interview, come back to episode 155 and listen to the 10 mistakes pastors make when interviewing.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at TomRainer.com.